Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have had this morning to be able to grow closer to you through these songs and listen to your word and the fellowship and so much. Help us to always stay hungry, to dig deep into your scriptures and find the faith-building knowledge and have the desire to come in and be a part of your family. Help us now as we get back into your word once again. Give us the knowledge and the understandings and encouragement to turn around and share that with others this week. Thank you so much. Let all of it bring honor and glory to you as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Resurrection of Jesus Christ. What we commemorate on this day, prophesied all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Of course, this was being addressed to the serpent or Satan, and the bruising of his head would be that conquering of the grave and him being the ultimate sacrifice to be able to cleanse people's sins in his blood. And the bruising of his heel, reference to the bruising of Jesus Christ's heel while on that cross. The first death was that spiritual death that Adam and Eve suffered at the time they denied this simple instruction. They turned against God and did what they wanted to rather than what he wanted them to. And also the first physical death was the death of the two animals that died, possibly one animal, they don't really record that. They believe it may have been a lamb. In 3:21 of Genesis, reads unto Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. In order to make the skins, he had to kill those animals or that animal. So that was the first shedding of blood. And then it was prescribed to them, Adam and his sons, and all those since then, of the sin offerings and so forth, of a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice for the remission of sins. All looking forward to the ultimate blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the ultimate Lamb of God. Because Jesus Christ is known as the Lamb of God, and the Lamb was chosen as the sacrificial lamb, the animal, one of the sacrificial animals, they believed that the original one that died for the skins to cover Adam and Eve was a lamb. In Luke chapter 18, we commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His crucifixion on that cross, horrible torture that he went through, but most importantly, he did it for us, and that he rose from that grave. Luke chapter 18, verse 31 reads, Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. This is Jesus shortly before going into Jerusalem, before that Palm Sunday, before that what they call the Passion Week, before his torturous treatment and crucifixion. But he's telling him, prophecies will be accomplished. They will be fulfilled. All the many, many prophecies all the way back to Genesis that we were just reading about will be fulfilled. Verse 32, For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. Of course, he's talking about himself. But he's repeating to them some of the prophecies. Let them know what's about to happen. In John chapter 3, we see he's teaching Nicodemus here about the prophecies. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now when it was told Adam that if he would eat of the forbidden fruit, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that he would die, he did die. He died instantly when he did that. He died spiritually. And later he died physically. He wouldn't have died either way. But that spiritual death is what affects all of us through all the ages, as well as the physical death. But when we're born into this world, we are born dead spiritually. Because we, as the Lord, are a Trinity. Body, soul, and spirit. He is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We are body, soul, and spirit. When we're born with an eternal soul and a physical body into this world. But that spirit is dead until you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then that spirit comes alive. That's what he's talking about, being born again. Nicodemus had no concept of this, even though Nicodemus was one of the chief Pharisees. He was well learned in the Old Testament, in the Scriptures. He should have known, but he didn't. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? He was just thinking about physical birth. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Born of water is the natural birth of a person. And born of the spirit is that spiritual birth. He explains, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the spirit. It isn't something you see physically. But you know it's there because you see the results of it, just like the wind and the trees. You see the effects of it. When you're born of the Spirit, it changes you, and people see that change in you. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? This one verse here goes so far about telling them earthly things and they don't believe it. How are they going to believe the spiritual things? As we see this demonstrated in the world so evidently, all over the place. The one of the most obvious things is the great flood of Noah's day. Been taught, we have the records in the Scriptures of what happened, a worldwide flood, of God's judgment upon this planet for sinful behavior. And yet, people don't want to see that. They do not believe that ever happened, even though their evidence is all over the planet. They're very obvious. And yet they close their eyes to that. They don't want to see that. If they're not even going to believe something as obvious as that, they're surely not going to believe in everlasting life, the Son of God, that Jesus Christ spoke everything into existence, that there's accountability. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. If you remember the account of Moses putting that serpent on that staff and holding it up, and those that were bitten by the serpents could go and look upon that and they would be healed. Talking about Jesus Christ being lifted up on a cross so that anyone who looks upon him and receives him will be healed spiritually. as well as physically. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's believing in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's that everlasting spiritual as well as physical life that we will have. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ that He performed on that cross and His resurrection and ascension, we have the opportunity of salvation. We have the opportunity to become born again. We have the opportunity to look forward to everlasting life. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because they're born into this world spiritually dead, and if they don't receive new life, they're already condemned when they come into this world. They're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire unless they receive that free gift of salvation the Lord has laid out right there for the taking. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They didn't want to believe. They did not want to be enlightened. They did not want the light, because that would shine in their dark world, and their sinful behaviors would be revealed, and they didn't want them revealed. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought or worked in God. We come to light because Jesus Christ is the light. We want our works, our deeds revealed. We'll be facing judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, and receive rewards for our work. We want that revealed. We want that light. But the darkness and the dark world don't want that. They don't want their actions, their deeds revealed. We see the finished work of Jesus Christ in John chapters 19 and 20 as it goes through the crucifixion, all that horrible torture that he endured that's described in chapter 19. But over in chapter 20, we see the wondrous record of his resurrection. In John chapter 20, verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes laying, yet went not in. Went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Interesting verse here. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now we just read the account where he told them he was going to rise from the dead. He told them on a number of occasions that he would rise from the dead on the third day. But it says here that they didn't know it. That's because they had not grasped it. They had not gotten a hold of it. They had not really heard it and received it. That's why they didn't know it. It takes more than just hear the words or to read the words. You have to receive them into you and understand them before you know them. Because just like if someone was to come in here and speak in a foreign language that you've never heard, you heard that, but you have no idea what they said because you don't understand it. You haven't received it. It was just noise to you. And until they saw it fulfilled, they didn't know it. Until they later received the Holy Ghost, they didn't know a lot of things that they had been taught already. But when the Holy Ghost came into them, all of a sudden they knew it. They had finally have received it. Just as the world has heard the story of the salvation, the accounts of Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, the accounts of Easter, resurrection, the accounts of ascension, they've heard it. They can read it. It's available. But they don't know it until they truly accept it and enters into them. Then they know it. Only those that have received Jesus Christ truly know the Word of God. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that He must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own house. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. She had heard the prophecies, but she did not know it yet. She was still doubting that he had actually risen. She thought somebody just stole his body. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So now she knows it. Now it's in her. She received it. She recognized him. And it's awesome that she was given the first opportunity to see the risen Jesus Christ. So she goes in verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. So now he appears to the whole group there as they are cowering, as they are fearful, as they are hiding because they're worried the Jews might come after them and crucify them as well. But Jesus comes to them and gives them that peace. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They could finally open their eyes and see the fulfillment of the Scriptures right there in front of them. Then said Jesus to them, Again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Giving them an assignment. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He needed the proof right there in front of him. That's why they call him Doubting Thomas. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were with, within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Closed up door, doors closed. He appeared, materialized right there with a physical body that they could touch. As he continues, "Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." All the ones that trust in Jesus Christ, not having the awesome opportunity that they had to actually be able to touch his resurrected body and to see those scars and to have that right within us that you cannot deny right there in front of you. We have an extra blessing of our faith and our trust and our belief in Jesus Christ. And it continues. It says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." That's eternal life, everlasting life. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I had preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, he fulfilled the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, just like it was prophesied, he fulfilled those prophecies. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this day." "Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me," this is Paul writing this letter, as of one born out of due time." So all of these eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, beginning the New Testament church, spreading the gospel, the good news of his resurrection, and we know that through his finished work, because on that cross he said, "It is finished," and we know that through his finished work, he now has full power, because it tells us in Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18, "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." This is when he came to them after the resurrection, before his ascension. He gives them this commission. And he says that all power is given unto him. So he is truly Lord, which means ultimate authority. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And he gives us a simple instruction. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. He's with us all the time. He'll never leave us or forsake us, because once we receive him into us, he moves unto us in the form of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gives us the opportunity of understanding, remembrance of his word, and knowledge of his will, knowledge of his word as we read it and study it. It gives us the words that we need to speak when we're testifying, when we're witnessing, gives us the boldness, the courage, as we see demonstrated in the disciples after they received the Holy Ghost, how bold they were. They weren't cowering in the upper room and hiding from the Jews. They were right out there in their face preaching and teaching the gospel, just like He's instructed us to do. We have so much to look forward to. He tells us in John chapter 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." He finishes that with a question. Believest thou this? And that's the question I put out to you. Do you believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He is God incarnate, took on flesh, come down, lived amongst us, lived some 33 years, crucified, buried, rose again on that third day, taking on all the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future, shed His blood so that we can have salvation, stayed around some 40 days preaching and teaching, and then ascended to the Father, sits on the right hand of the Father, our great High Priest, our Mediator. If you believe in that and receive that, acknowledge that, then you become one of the family and the Holy Ghost moves into you. And that's really what Easter is all about. Remembering the day that He rose from the dead, giving us the example of what we will be able to do as well. Raise from the dead and get a glorified body that we will be able to use for eternity to further serve the Lord and enjoy His paradise. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Resurrection Day that we commemorate. We remember what You have taught us, that we look forward to what You have in store for us. Help us to share that with others as well, so they can have the knowledge and understanding of You as their Lord and Savior, and be looking forward to resurrection. We thank You so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.